are living in urgent times, if you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, hello, my friends. It is wonderful to be with you today on this beautiful sunny day in Philadelphia. It's October 2nd, 2023, the Feast of the Guardian Angels. And let us begin with prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we pray today for the intercession and protection of our guardian angels. Please, Jesus, ask them to be with us, to guard us, to show us, and to ask all those who are around us to intercede before your heavenly throne. Lord Jesus, we dedicate this program, this month, the month of October, the month dedicated to Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. We dedicate this program to you, our Blessed Mother, and to the guardian angels, and to our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for all those who are in need of some inspiration today. We pray that this program will touch your heart in a very special way. In Jesus' holy name, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, my friends, I wanted to just start off the program saying yesterday I had the great honor and blessing to be in at the special dedication of the exhibition and shrine of Blessed Carlo Acutis at Malvern Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania. Oh, what a holy day it was on sacred ground. First and foremost, to be in the new exhibit slash shrine that just got finished, actually, and for the presence of Carlo Acutis's mother, Antonia, and the blessing with first-class relics of Carlos's hair for all of us who were present. And then, of course, for the magnificent mass under a tent in the field at Malvern with well over 900 people, mostly young people in attendance, and Archbishop Shanahan choir doing a magnificent job, and just Father Doug McKay celebrating the Mass and blessing people with the relics. It was indeed a holy day. And I want you to, and encourage you to visit this new official shrine of Blessed Carlo Acutis at Malvern Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania. For those of you outside of Pennsylvania, it's near King of Prussia. Or if you know where Villanova University is, it's down the road to give you some idea of where it's at. Give a call to Malvern for any instructions in terms of times. And he'll also bring your parish Bible study, your youth group. It is a holy place. And I can't encourage you any more than I can today to visit this shrine. It's life-changing. It's life-changing, and to read the words that Carlo shared in his short time on earth, he died at the age of 15, and to hear the words and his love for the Holy Eucharist, and my gosh, it will certainly change your life and those of your family members, particularly young people. So just a heads up, at the end of the program, I may pray the actual canonization prayer. Antonia said that a woman was healed of metastatic breast cancer when she prayed to Carlo Acutis for intercession before God the Father. And there are many, many miracles now in play that are being investigated in Rome in terms of his canonization. So we will keep you up to date on what's happening. But I ask that you not miss this incredible shrine at Malvern Retreat House, brand new, just dedicated yesterday. It is life-changing. And whether you have a son or daughter who they don't believe or they've lost their faith, this is the place to take them, because Carlo Acutis is working overtime and bringing many souls to Christ. So let us begin. My friends, I'm solo today. Today in prayer, I had one subject planned for you, and in the quiet, in preparation, spiritual preparation for this program, the Lord gave me a 360 again. He's doing this lately, and I'm not sure why, because it's total dependence on him, the 360 in terms of subject matter. But I laughed because it's been probably, I don't know how many years since even discussing this topic, either at a retreat or on the air or at a conference. But we're going to be talking about how can we address our family tree, wiping out ancestral sins. Yes, no, it's not an easy topic, is it? It's not an easy topic at all. So I was involved maybe 45 years ago with the authors, Dr. Kenneth McCall and the Lim brothers, who were priests at the time, and the Association of Christian Therapists, in their research and in terms of ancestral healing and in the writings regarding ancestral healing. So this is 45 years ago. So today, the Lord placed it on my heart that someone needs to hear this program. So my friends, stay with me. I'm extracting a lot of information from many different places. But I want to tell you that the International Association of Exorcists addressed this issue of intergenerational healing and wiping out ancestral sin at a Congress held in Rome in September 2018. Now, this was under the direction of Father Rogelio Alcantara, a Mexican priest who was asked to provide a study on the matter. It was, you know, many people have talked about it, many churches. You've probably heard it at charismatic prayer meetings. Not a whole lot has been discussed about it. But Father Alcantara, he's a doctor of theology, and he was the director of the Commission for the Doctrine of the Faith of the Archdiocese of Mexico City. And at this particular Congress, my friends, he delivered a negative evaluation of intergenerational healing. Now, he, believe it or not, summarized the idea that inspires intergenerational healing. Now, those of you who have taken Latin, you know, inter means between in Latin, intergenerational healing. Now, I'm quoting him, the evils that people suffer today, psychic, moral, social, spiritual, and corporal, have a cause in their ancestors. The current person would be like the last link in a chain through which the evils that come to him or her are passing. Now, one would ask the question, right? Where would these evils come from? Now, he addressed this Congress of exorcists saying, well, they are really of triple origin. The bad inclinations of one ancestors, their sins, the curses invoked on their descendants. And now these all lead a person's descendants to having very strong inclinations and tendencies to certain evils or to ancestral bondage. Now, we could do a whole series on this because there are so many psychologists, psychiatrists, exorcists, priests, lay people involved in this. Now, the solution proposed to believers by some priests and groups dedicated to this ministry of healing and liberation would be to heal their family tree with religious practices and very specific prayers that can cut off the noxious inheritance that has been received from the ancestors, achieving self-liberation and the forgiveness of the ancestors. You're stopping, you're thinking, what? Now, he said, to this end, rites, R-I-T-E-S, are carried out that involve taking on new concepts, such as transferences, influence, intergenerational curses, ancestral inheritance, stickiness, and healing of the family tree. Now, where in the world, my friends, does this theory come from? Where does it come from? Well, he offered significant quotations from authors who support the idea that Father Alcantara declared that we cannot find any Catholic author who's taught the doctrine of ancestral sin before the second half of the 20th century. And he also said to this Congress of Exorcists, it's a novel doctrine for sure, an invention that represents a grave danger for those who want to accept divine revelation as presented to us by the Catholic Church. Now, this theory, according to Father, appeared for the first time among Protestants through pagan inspiration. A Protestant missionary, Dr. Kenneth McCall, and as I shared a few minutes ago, I met him, knew him, actually worked on some of his papers probably 45 years ago, from England, is the one who gave the impulse to the practice of healing the family tree. Now, it eventually, and I remember this quite well, became a movement. In addition, Father argues, these ideas also have no philosophical or scientific basis. The philosophical foundation of the so-called ancestral damage is very similar to what is popularly known today as karma, an idea derived from the Hindu religion. I can't tell you how many times I hear, well, if such and such did this, oh, karma's going to get him. How many of us have heard that? That's more popular than anything. Karma, oh, there's karma. Well, that's from the Hindu religion. And although the doctrine of ancestral sin has no theological foundation, Father said that its defenders try to justify that application of karma to Christian theology based on the psychological sciences, especially the thought of Carl Jung. And they also try to root their ideas in the Catholic doctrine of original sin. But they're not properly justifying that application. But doesn't ancestral sin appear in the Bible? So if you're listening in your car, you're saying, hey, I know it appears in the Bible. I've read about it. You may be a theology student. You may be in a prayer group. Well, the idea that the sins of ancestors influence people's lives appears in several passages of the Old Testament. Did you know that? Which Father details. He analyzes it to demonstrate that the correct interpretation of these biblical texts require reading them, praying with them in their context. It's very important. It's precisely the mercy of God that is emphasized in these biblical texts. The divine response to human sin. Now, other texts, my friends, in the Old Testament clearly state that each person will bear his own guilt and the consequences of his sin. Now, in these biblical texts, the personal dimension of sin is emphasized. Now, Father Alcantara reminds his listeners at this Congress, in the Old Testament, there is already a clear clarification of the relationship between the consequences of sin and personal guilt. Now, this is a hot topic today, so this is why I believe the Lord brought it to heart today. Now, this is confirmed by the words of Jesus in the Gospels, when he answered those who asked him whether a blind man was afflicted because of his own sins or those of his parents. Now, Father Alcantara stated, from the analysis of the text of sacred scripture, we can conclude that the doctrine of so-called ancestral sin and the so-called prayer of healing of the genealogical tree has no foundation in divine revelation. That's pretty severe, isn't it? That's one of those knock on the door, open up, and learn what's going on. So those of you who have participated in healing services and all, and I have throughout decades and participated with various famous authors who are now deceased, like Father De Grandis and many more, it was always discussed. What's the distinction between influences, sins, and curses? Well, Father Alcantara, he clarified the term influence, sin, and curses in order to distinguish them properly in the first place. It's important for all of us to be educated to understand this. We have to distinguish them properly. Defining intergenerational influences, as he said, any element that alters or determines the way of thinking or acting of someone in a future generation. Now, the influence of one generation on another exists. No matter what is written, said, it exists. So to really take this down, I mean, if grandmom says to make the bread with a specific dough, that's passing down information. That's an influence, isn't it? Well, the influence of one generation on another exists, and it's something natural, just like I shared about grandmom, caused by environmental factors or coexistence, such as human or religious education, good or bad example. And now, secondly, he clarifies, on the basis of the book of Revelation, that the so-called intergenerational or ancestral sin, understood as we know it as Roman Catholics, as sin, that's transmitted from one generation to another, does not exist, because sin is a free act. And the consequences are transgressing the divine law, guilt and punishment. They're personal and they're not transferable. So Father Alcantara said at this exorcist congress, he reiterated that if by ancestral sin we mean the sin of ancestors that is transferred to the current generation, that would mean, for example, like two or three generations ago, maybe your uncle was an alcoholic and you believe you're an alcoholic because your uncle was an alcoholic three decades ago. So he addressed this. If by ancestral sin we mean the sin of ancestors that's transferred to the current generation, it does not exist, since the only sin that can be transmitted through generation is original sin. Now, if by ancestral sin, we simply mean the sin committed by our ancestors, and that is not transmitted to current generations, the expression could be accepted. But, he said, it lends itself to confusion, because it runs the risk, and this is where it gets a little scary, of being interpreted in the first sense. It's better to avoid the term. Now, the sins of our ancestors cannot predispose us or the descended to sin. I'm going to read that again. The sins of an ancestor cannot predispose our descendants or us to sin. Can't use it as an excuse. It can only be said that they could naturally that's environmentally have an influence as the example given by people close to the center. So say, for example, you have someone who is an alcoholic. You can't blame yourself on that alcoholism 4 decades ago, but maybe you had some uncles or aunts who continued to be alcoholics. And so you have one now. And so that was transferred to you. You learned it. It's learned behavior. So they can naturally have an influence as an example given by people close to the center, you see? But they cannot predispose anyone to sin. So sins are repeated in families all due to bad example. Bad example. I know we have parents listening who have children with addictions, and you may have an addiction or had an addiction. So this idea of ancestral is basically boiled down to bad example. If you were an addict and your child is an addict, perhaps they learned addiction through you, or maybe not, or someone on the streets, but transferred through bad example. Since God does not respond to a request that seeks the evil of another person, the only ones who could agree to fulfill a curse are the demons. Now, this is a big topic. I love Susan Brinkman, who discusses this, and we'll have her on in the future. Do curses really have any effect? And Susan will document, yes, they do. So Father Alcantara, to The Exorcist, treated the question of the curses that are made as a request to the devil for a person to be deprived of some good. And after analyzing different types of curses, Father addressed their effectiveness. Quote, whoever curses can simply wish for the evil of the other, but pure human desire has no power at all to cause any harm. The curse could have an effect only when the one who carries it out asks for evil for another. So, in theory, either by asking God or the devil. You can't say, oh, I just wish this person would break their bones. But if you invoke the bad guy, then that's a curse. Since God does not respond to a request that seeks evil on another person, the only ones who could agree to fulfill a curse are the demons. Right? They're the only ones. So, and how is this possible? So if you're driving along the Schuylkill Expressway and you're saying, oh, come on, how is this possible? Father responded, it's through a mystery. It's often incomprehensible to us. God allows his enemy to act, causing physical, psychological, or spiritual damage to God's human creatures for their conversion and salvation. And so you might be scratching your head saying, what? I don't get this. What is the reach of a curse or witchcraft over time? And again, I'm going to have Susan Brinkman on. And according to Father, a man or woman can curse his descendants, but only those that are living, because he or she cannot have authority over those who have not been conceived. So what dangers are there? Well, he observed that offering masses and saying prayers to heal one's family tree is basically foreign to Catholic doctrine and liturgy, although I believe it's more integrated now. Neither in Revelation nor in the Church Fathers nor in the history of Catholic theology does one find examples of this practice. Now, repeating the teaching of some bishops, Father warns that the so-called prayer for healing of the family tree leads people to seek the reasons for their suffering outside of themselves. And this, in turn, prevents a true process of psychological health that could actually heal the individual. So the masses that are celebrated for this intention are very important for the soul of the person who's praying it. And finally, Father emphasized that these masses sometimes divert the charity we should have towards our deceased loved ones. And instead of offering masses for them, we're asking for masses for ourselves. We're not very authentic, are we? We're not very authentic. So I want to go back to something that was shared with me many, 45 years ago with Dr. Kenneth McCall. And he actually trained many Catholic priests in terms of intergenerational healing. And I actually remember having a mass celebrated for a loved one who was stillborn in my family, and it was very special. So priests generally are not trained in this, and I remember back then that there was a particular priest in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia who was trained, who did come to our home and celebrate a special mass. And the mass really isn't any different than any mass, because all masses are the same, and the Eucharist is the same. And it's very important to understand and do your homework. So say, for example, you know a person who's suffering from an eating disorder. This is very complicated, but sometimes at the Mass, this person may see a past ancestor suffering starvation. And when she or he prays for healing of that person, they're also healed of the eating disorder. I've seen that, witnessed that at prayer meetings for the decades. So on Curses and Evil Spirits, you read about intergenerational healing. And in the same way that physical conditions such as alcoholism, let's say depression, heart disease run in families, spiritual conditions can also run in families. Yeah, we need to address the spiritual conditions because it impacts our medical history, our physical maladies. And sometimes illnesses are rooted in generational attitudes. And for example, sometimes events like abortion, unexpected deaths, or infant death runs in families. And priests have prayed and celebrated masses. Prayed and celebrated masses for those who are suffering. Now, not all illnesses are caused by past events, and we can't blame them on this. And it's we are all interconnected, and the good and the bad that we do has effects for many generations. But it's learned by example. And do you remember the poem, No Man is an Island? Do you remember that? So I'm going to be reading a little bit more after the break, some of the intergenerational prayers for those who are listening, because I presented Father Alcantara to you so you would hear the writings and the deliverance of a talk that he gave to exorcist and in light of the sacred scriptures. So after this, my friends, we'll be continuing with this discussion, and I pray that you stay with us because we have so much more to share.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGloone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on this amazing network. And I ask that you continue to pray for this network, that it will thrive and grow into the bountiful mission that God has in store for it, and that you pray for protection. And also, if you can help financially, it would be wonderful. Information on the upcoming golf outing, which I heard is going to be so much fun, at Talamore Golf Club, is on the website. So I ask again that you continue to listen and support the radio network, which has been on for 50 plus consecutive years, and so many lives have been touched. So my friends, I want to pray a Catholic healing prayer for your family tree. And it's well known, not so much on the air, but I'm going to pray it for those who are listening right now who are very confused about what's happening in one's family and would like to know some more information. And Father Robert DeGrandis, DeGrandis, who is deceased, has written extensively on healing the family tree. And so I highly suggest some of his books. And also look it up in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. My friends, let us pray. Father, I come before you as your child in great need of your help. I have physical health needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, and interpersonal needs. Many of my problems have been caused by my own failures, neglect, and sinfulness, for which I humbly beg your forgiveness. But I also ask you, Lord, to forgive the sins of my ancestors whose failures have left their effect by example on me in the form of unwanted tendencies, behavior patterns, and defects in mind, body, and spirit. Heal me, Lord, of all these disorders. With your help, I sincerely forgive everyone, especially living or dead members of my family tree, who have directly offended me or my loved ones in any way, or those whose sins have resulted in our present sufferings and disorders. In the name of your divine Son, Jesus Christ, and in the power of his Holy Spirit, I ask you, Heavenly Father, to deliver me and my entire family tree today from the influence of the evil one. Free all living and dead members of my family tree, including those in adoptive relationships and those in extended family relationships, from every contaminating form of bondage. By your loving concern for us, Heavenly Father, and by the shed blooding of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, I beg you to extend your blessing to all of those who are listening, all our living and deceased relatives. Heal every negative effect transmitted through all past generations and prevent negative effects in future generations of my personal family tree. I symbolically place the cross of Jesus over the head of each person in my family and between each generation. I ask you to let the cleansing blood of Jesus purify the bloodlines in my family lineage. Set your protective angels to encamp around us and permit Archangel Raphael, the patron of healing, to administer your divine healing power to all of us, even in areas of genetic disability. Give special power to our family members, guardian angels, to heal, protect, guide, and encourage each of us in all of our needs. Let your healing power be released at this very moment, and let it continue as long as you want it. In our family, Lord, replace all bondage with a holy bonding in family love today. Let there be an even deeper bonding with you, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, to your Son, Jesus Christ. Let the family of the Holy Trinity pervade our family with its tender, warm, loving presence, so that our family may recognize and manifest your love in all our relationships. All of our unknown needs we include with this petition that we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, that prayer was written by Father John Hampsch. I believe he was a friend of John Dom Lettieri back in the old days, but Father John Hampsch wrote this. And now I'm going to pray. This also is an old friend of mine. Father, he's a doctor, Bob Sears from Loyola University in Chicago. Dear Lord, we ask you to cover us with your protection against all harm and evil, and to bind every spirit that may come against us into your hands, Lord. We commend our mind, body, soul, and spirit. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. And he also wrote these prayers for protection. We beg you, Lord, and banish the deadly power of the evil one from our homes, and may your holy angels dwell in them to keep us in peace. And may your blessing be always upon us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. And may God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, a prince of the heavenly host, by the divine power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who roam throughout the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. So, my friends, we are so blessed to have a sacramental church. You don't even need to think or worry about any of this. Bring yourself to confession, the sacrament of reconciliation. So if addiction, alcoholism, drugs, pornography, eating disorders, stealing, cheating, if anything, adultery is in your heart, in your family that you see or know of, bring it to the sacrament of reconciliation. It's the greatest exorcism in the world. It's the healing balm, B-A-L-M, of the Lord. And then you bring it to the Holy Eucharist, because Jesus is the healer. No one on earth is a healer. Only Jesus is the healer. So you bring it to him in the Holy Eucharist. You know, yesterday, listening to Blessed Carlo Acutis's mother, she spoke of him going to Mass every single day and how the Eucharist was everything to him. It was everything. And she laughed and said that he loved PlayStation, and at one time in his life, he was given a PlayStation, and he offered it up only to play it once a week instead of once every hour or once a day, once a week for the Lord. And how he loved to play football, but he was lousy at it. But he just rejoiced. He had such a sense of joy. See, he didn't dwell on his family lineage. And she said he went out to the streets in Milan to feed the poor, the hungry, those without blankets. He lived it, and he was just a kid. He was just a teen. And he really started this at a very young age. And he died at the age of 15. And so hearing this testimony and seeing his love for the Holy Eucharist, he had a great love for computers. He was a computer geek. And he gathered information on Eucharistic miracles from around the world, which led him to a deeper and deeper love of the Holy Eucharist. He led his family to the Lord. Now, his family, they didn't really practice their faith. He led his family to the Lord. So let's let go of some of the excuses of our lineage and today say, I'm cutting all this off. I'm going to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, and I am going to begin a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know personally, because in being involved in prayer teams over the decades, that people love to curse off other people they don't like, or they place a curse on other people. And again, it doesn't have any power if it's in their name, but if it's in the evil one's name, it has power. So it's important to bring that to the sacrament. And also the importance of holy water in your home and blessed salt, if you can get blessed salt, very, very important. And of course, as she said yesterday, Carlos's mother, the greatest weapon against the devil, and Padre Pio said this as well, is the rosary, is to pray the rosary. See, we have all these amazing tools at our disposal, and we just let them go. We don't even take them for granted anymore. We just ignore them. I mean, I'm astonished at the number of people who do not know their faith. And to see several hundred young people under a tent on a Sunday afternoon to hear the message of Carlo Acutis's mother, how the Eucharist is everything. They needed to hear that. And they listened. You could hear a pin drop. We need to understand that every day is a new day. Every day when we put our feet on the ground, we need to dedicate it to the Lord. So many self-help books bring us to places where sometimes we're not educated to go. And we have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful. And I see so many kids. They call them the N-O-N-E-S. We would say they're the nuns, not nuns, religious nuns, but the nuns. They don't believe in anything. They believe in themselves. This is a very dangerous path to take, and it's very important for us to lead by example and to know that these kids are practicing curses on one another, and the Ouija board and Harry Potter and spells. We are in the month, and again, I'm going to have Susan Brinkman on to discuss this. Please, if you're listening, put a stop to it. Please, I ask that you read one of Susan's blogs. She has many books. We'll have her on the air again talking about this. You know, these intergenerational curses. I know, you know, I'm from the Irish descent, reading the tea leaves. That's intergenerational. It came down through the generations. So much garbage in our family lines. And the karma thing, and let's pray to the universe, nonsense. It's the Hindu religion. It is not Christian. And if I hear one more Catholic saying, well, karma will get them, this is not from God. We need to take a stand as Christians today for our faith. We need to stand in the gap, and we need to be a praying people. We get stuck in self-help. We get stuck in so many things, blaming others for the addictions in our families. Yes, you may have learned to drink from a family member, or learned to look at pornography, or learned to put a curse on someone to get them out of your life. Well, my friends, please be aware of what your children are reading and seeing and learning. And please be aware of the example that you are setting. Maybe grandma, you know, back in the old country, set a curse on somebody. The evil eye, that's so evil that that's a whole program unto itself. It's time to release those things, to not be involved in the tarot cards, in the seances, and all the things that keep us distracted, which one would think, oh, well, in my generational line, you know, such and such went to see a reader once a week. Well, that is not from God. It's from the other side. And sometimes people think it's just fun. Oh, it's harmless. And the saying of the kids playing with Ouija boards and, oh, it's just fun. No, it isn't. They're dabbling in the occult. So that, my friends, is the most important message today. That's the integration of the feast of the guardian angels, of hearing the beautiful testimony of Blessed Carlo Acutis's mom yesterday from Italy, Milan, Italy. And today, you know, the Lord placing the topic of intergenerational healing on my heart, how there's confusion and we get so stuck in it with self-help groups that we forget who we are and where God wants to lead us. Last week, we talked about sloth, S-L-O-T-H, a capital sin. And I'm not sure where God will be leading us in the coming weeks. But I do know that this radio network has a mission, and that it's an important mission. And yesterday, in the tent at Malvern, met so many people who love this radio network, who love Kathleen in a very special way, and she's helped so many people. You know, it's not about Kathleen. She didn't inherit her gifts of healing. God gave them to her. Her children didn't inherit her gift of healing. That's not intergenerational, but the gift of prayer and the spirituality shared in this family is. See, that's what we share with one another and how by example we lead, and not by karma, not by karma. So it's very important during this special month of the Holy Rosary that we stay close to the Blessed Mother and we stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ and we seek our faith in all the right places. We need to seek our faith in all the right places because there is so much confusion. And my friends, we need to follow the magisterium of the church and we need to be close to the sacramentals of the church and the sacraments of the church so we are not led astray. I can only share with you how so many people have been damaged by lay people who really think that they know the faith and they're not in alignment with the church. They live outside. They have their own prophecies and locutions. It's not the case with Kathleen McCarthy. Be very careful. Be very careful because the bad guy is bringing up the past in a lot of these alleged prophecies, trying to scare people. And it's not from God. God is a God of joy, a God of hope, a God of healing. And this is what he wants to bring to you today if you're listening. If you're listening, it isn't by accident. No, God has a plan for your life. And it's important for you to get to the sacrament of reconciliation, to undo all the knots that are tied around you, the bondages, the chains. Find a priest who will listen to you, who will bless you, anoint you with the anointing of the sick, and then go to the Holy Eucharist. If you cannot go to Mass, go to adoration. Just go to adoration and sit in the presence of Jesus. It is so powerful and life-changing. How can we ever thank God for all that he has done for us, for all the healing? How can we ever thank God for all the beauty of the Roman Catholic Church, the beauty of our sacraments, of our priesthood, the beauty of our children learning the sacraments, and our parents living in sacramental marriages. How can we ever thank the Lord for all that he has done for us? We live in his mercy. We live in his divine mercy. And so it is important that as we go forth from this day, that we hear his message in the silence of our hearts. So my friends, I'm going to read a prayer that was handed out by Blessed Carlo Acutis's mother yesterday on little prayer cards. And it is a prayer for the canonization of Blessed Carlo Acutis. So pray this for your grandchild, your child, your daughter, your son. O God, our Father, thank you for giving us Carlo, a life example for the young and a message of love for everyone. You made him become enamored with your son, Jesus, making of the Eucharist his highway to heaven. You gave him Mary as a most loving mother, and with the rosary, you made him a poet of her tenderness. Receive his prayer for us. Above all, gaze upon the poor whom he loved and helped. Grant for me too, by his intercession, the grace that I need, and mention it right now, physical, emotional, or spiritual. And make our joy fulfilled, placing Carlo among the saints of your church, so that his smile may shine again for us in the glory of your name. Amen. And it says to pray the Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Now, I'm sure if you like, you could call Malvern Retreat House for a copy of this prayer card with a picture of Blessed Carlo in the front and the prayer in the back, or perhaps Kathleen can obtain a box of them if there are any left over. Again, she brought them over from Italy for all those who were attending, and I'm sure there has to be an extra box somewhere. It's a very special prayer, and when your young one sees the picture of Carlo in the front, you know, they will jump for joy because he has a backpack, and he was buried in Nike sneakers and a jogging suit, and his hair is used as a relic, by the way. His hair is used as a relic, and Malvern has two relics on display and to be used at the shrine and exhibit. So I highly encourage you to go there. You see, when I think of Carlo and his story, his family didn't even go to church. He influenced his family to go to church by example. So what if he followed the intergenerational? He would have been an atheist. He wouldn't have cared about going to church, but he set the example, and he was influenced by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. And the Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist, changed his life. This is what God the Father wants for all of us. He wants all of us to be transformed, for all of us, for all of our children to be like Carlo Acutis, for all of us to be sanctified, to be sanctified. Look that word up, sanctified through the power of the Holy Spirit and his precious blood. See, we live in desperate times, don't we? But do you remember at the year 2000, we said we were living in desperate times? And in the 60s, we were living in desperate times? Many times we have gone through these desperate times. And the Lord has a plan for our lives. He has a plan for your family today and going forward. It's not a plan that died a few years ago and out of fear and out of the hype on social media. He is a God of hope, a God of joy. And this is the message that he wants all of us to bring forth out of our homes, into our office places, our parishes, our family reunions, nursing homes, prisons. He wants us to be people of joy. So let us thank God for all that he has given us. And I have one more prayer because people have said they like the prayer and different prayers. And this is a special prayer to the Sacred Head of our Blessed Lord at the seat of divine wisdom. Wisdom of the Sacred Head, guide us in all ways. O love of the Sacred Heart, consume us with thy fire. Three glorious in honor of the divine will, memory and understanding. O seat of divine wisdom and guiding power, which governs all the motions and love of the Sacred Heart, may all minds know thee with all thy heart. May we love thee with all of us, with all of our tongues praise thee, now and forever. My friends, let us begin to support this radio network. Let us begin to know and announce that God is in charge, that we have nothing to fear, even back to our generations, and that he has a plan for us, and it's a mighty plan. And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, and I wish that many of you would write to praise@inhissign.com some of your testimonies about how God is working in your life. And tomorrow, Kathleen will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Don't miss it. And Wednesday, Ken Johnson and Father Doug McKay, and Thursday, Dr. Anton Raimondo. And Friday is a mixture of people. So this is one blessed network, and we need to make sure it continues for the next 50 years, that the beacon of hope that it provides for all of us will continue, that the journey is continuing with wisdom and financial support, and that no one is isolated from the love and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my friends, I thank you for being with me today. I pray that next week the Lord leads me to a special guest. Again, I never know until the day or the day before. It's always a surprise. And I'm sure now, after all these years on radio, that it depends on the need of those who are listening. So until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. God bless you.
Alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.